You guys ready for a quick message to just build up your spirit? A little bit of teaching. I was really encouraged with the men on Tuesday night. There was a couple of MIAs missing in action, but most of the brothers were there who had started off. And I said to them, hey, next week I want to teach you how to cook a steak, but our chef isn't available. So what shall we do? And there was a clear signal from the men that they wanted to get back into the Word of God. Ooh. Yeah. So Alison, she makes these amazing suppers for us. But what we've been reading, really enjoying, is feasting on the Word of God. Yeah. So I want to talk about this thing called incarnation. Incarnation. Nothing to do with the flower carnation. But it's a doctrine. It's an important truth. Incarnation. And Christmas time, that's basically what we celebrate. I went through a time, if you've known me over the years, where I was like the Grinch. I didn't really like Christmas. I didn't like Christmas trees. I'd avoid Christmas a little bit. And then I began to ask myself, is there something that I can ask the Lord, what can I celebrate at this time? Even though December 25th, you know, doubtful whether Jesus was born then, and all these kind of other controversies. But then I began to realize that Christmas is a time when we kind of acknowledge that God became a man and dwelt on the earth. And that's what the incarnation is. Incarnation is the union of the Word of God from heaven coming down together in humanity in the form of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, we should say. And if you've got your Bible with you, please turn to John chapter 1, and we'll see how we go, because I've got to get to Waipu today. Got a family gathering down there after this. So if you see me rush out the door, that means you can get to eat my cheese sandwich that Dorothy has made, right? It's for you. So we're in John chapter 1, and we're going to look at 5 verses, and we're starting in verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I like to read this particular verse in Te Reo Māori because it's a great tauparapara, a great way for our men to begin their speeches. I te timatanga te kupu, I te atua te kupu, ko te atua anō te kupu, I te atua anō tēnei kupu, I te timatanga. Tihei wā Māori ora. So that's a really good way to begin if you're going to be speaking, bring that one there, and it just establishes what the beginning is and who was there in the beginning. So there was never a time when Jesus didn't exist. I want you to understand this, church, because there's a lot of false doctrine and different kind of groups around. Jesus was not created. Jesus always existed. He is the Word of God. He was God, and he was with God. If the Jehovah Witnesses give you a Bible, you read their Bible and they say, in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. False translation. False translation. The Word was God. Jesus is God. He's not the brother of Lucifer, like the LDS teach. He's not a prophet, like Islam teaches. He's not a great teacher like the Buddhists teach. He was another incarnation of the Buddha. None of that. Jesus Christ is God. Yeah. Is God, always was God, was with God. There was never a time in the universe when Jesus Christ did not exist. But he came down as a man, and he dwelt amongst us. And that's what we're talking about here this morning. That's what we can teach our children at Christmas time, about the incarnation. We call it the incarnation. So that's when the Word of God became flesh, became human, and dwelt amongst us. The scripture goes on to say, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus wasn't created. He is the creator. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. All things that were made by the Word of God. If you go back into Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was void and formless, and the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. And this is, and then God said, let there be light. So God said, that's the Word of God. So the Word of God, Jesus, that was him. He created, he brought the light. Jesus, God said, God the Father said, that's the Word. So he was right there creating the earth with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. When God spoke the word, the world came into existence. The chapter 1 goes on to say, in him, this is talking about Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, yeah, I see Brian getting excited about that, but Brian, it gets better than that. My Bible says, the darkness did not comprehend the light. But I looked up this verse 5 it is, in every English translation, except for, what's that one that you read, Alison, that's not really a Bible? Yeah, the Passion, yeah. Yeah, I looked up every English version except for the Passion. Yeah, and Alison will maybe tell you what the Passion says. But the Amplified Bible puts verse 5 this way. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it, and is unreceptive to it. I looked up it in all the other English versions, and 18 times this verse is translated as the darkness has not overcome the light. The darkness has not overcome the light. Many, many Christians, you know, I think it might have been because of that silly little song we sung when we were kids. Don't let Satan blow it out. Satan can't blow out the light. That darkness cannot overcome the light. So the only, when you see a community or a town or a city or a nation that's getting dark, it's because the light has switched itself off. The light has turned itself down. That's the only way. Because the scripture says what? Darkness cannot overcome the light. Darkness cannot overcome the light. We're on the winning team. Yeah. It's our responsibility to let the light get brighter. We can increase the light. And the darkness flees. The darkness flees. 18 times, the darkness has not overcome the light. 7 times, the darkness has not put out the light. 5 times, the darkness has not extinguished the light. Also translated as the darkness has not suppressed the light, or not defeated the light, or overtaken the light, or overpowered or quenched the light. Darkness has and never will put out the light. Can someone say hallelujah? Never, ever, impossibility. Physically impossible, spiritually impossible. So Jesus Christ, he's the light of God, and he cannot be defeated. And he said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Therefore, let your light shine. Hallelujah. So there he was, the eternal word of God, living in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And verse 14 tells us this, of the same chapter. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word became flesh. The word came down from heaven and dwelt amongst us as a man. And we go into Luke chapter 1, if you can, the Christmas story, and we see how this happened. With things we see, I want to give you 4 things this morning that are required for incarnation to happen, because this applies to us too. The story is not just about Jesus becoming a man. This is about the Word of God becoming alive inside of us as well. So there's 4 things here that we can see in Luke chapter 1. We're starting in verse 26. Now, the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Man, I reckon she would have screamed her head off. But, you know, I would have. Hey, if this being from another dimension suddenly appeared in my house. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid," because obviously she was going, "Wah! Mary, for you have found favor in God." So number 1, you need an open human being. The first thing you need for incarnation is to have a human being that is open. And in this case, it was a young woman, Mary. What's number one? Open human being. Hopefully there's some open human beings here today. There's some human beings. Open. She was open. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Number two, you need the word of God. See, that's what the angel brought, the word of God to an open human being. The angel spoke out the word of God. He said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be pregnant, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. What he was speaking was the word of God. I'm speaking the word of God today. Hopefully the Lord is speaking to your heart today, the word of God. He sent a messenger, in this case, Gabriel. Today, I don't think it's out of order to say I'm the messenger of the word of God today. I don't think that's out of order to say that, speaking the word of God in this place. You're a messenger too of the word of God. So we need an open human being. We need the word of God. Verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man, in the biblical sense? And verse 35, and the angel answered to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and now is in the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. That's a beautiful verse, eh? For with God nothing will be impossible. The third thing you need to incarnate the word of God is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's presence. The third thing we see here is the Spirit of God. We see that same principle back in Genesis. What did we see? We saw the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters of the deep. Then God said, let there be light. And that's in Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3. So we need the Holy Spirit. That's the third thing. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the open human being. We need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit overshadowing that person, that situation. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The fourth thing you need to incarnate the word of God is faith. She said, let it be to me according to your word. She believed what the angel was saying to her. Mary believed the word of God that was spoken to her by the angel. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And at that moment, the word of God from heaven was impregnated into her womb, into the ovum. Most of us here, we probably did human biology at school. We know that every 4 weeks, the female body of childbearing age releases an ovum, an egg, into the uterus. So she had the egg, that was the flesh, and the word of God spoken by the angel came down, impregnated that egg, just like how you would have seen it, the body, the sperm, you know? You know what I'm talking about here, eh? Not if you know, you know, you got that picture. And that's what happened. The word of God came, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed that process. There was a spark of light, and that the word of God became flesh. Mary's flesh, the egg wrapped around the word of God. When Jesus was born 9 months later, he would have looked very much like his mother. He had his mother's DNA. And he had his father's DNA, Father God. Joseph was his stepfather, we know that. But his father was God, and the word of God was wrapped in flesh. And for 9 months, she carried the word of God. We read later on in the book of Luke that the relation Elizabeth, her baby John, leaped inside the womb of Elizabeth when he heard Mary's greeting. The baby, because John, the child, recognized the Messiah. So we got two sets of DNA, one from Heavenly Father, one from his earthly mother. making Jesus, this is a solid truth, making Jesus both God and man. Understand that? Both God and man. That's why when you read through the scriptures, he calls himself Son of Man. I used to get confused. I thought he was the Son of God. And he's saying he's the Son of Man. You know, being dumb, not like you guys, onto it. And so he got the title Son of Man. Here's the thing though, if she had not believed, none of this would have happened. That egg would have passed out of the body, just like the month before and the month before. But because she believed, the Holy Spirit was able to take the Word of God and turn that into something real, something flesh, incarnation amongst. So we know the story. 9 months later, the baby was born, the whole manger thing. Probably the children will do some of this next Sunday. And he was born just like you and I. And, you know, she would have squawked probably. There would have been mess. You know, you guys know how most of you have been at a birth or had a birth or been born. Probably don't remember yourself being born. I had a son who reckons he remembers. It's unreal. Yeah. But anyway, he was different. He was like us, but different. Same, but different. Because he was born without a sin nature. What do I mean by that? Our ancestor Adam, the first one in the human race, he rebelled towards God. He rebelled against God. And from that time forward, every human was born with a defect called sin nature. And that's a default in us to rebel against God, a default in us to choose the wrong thing. And it's been passed down to generation to generation. Romans, the 3rd chapter and verse 23 says, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all the human race. But there was one man, a human man, who lived a perfect sinless life. His father was God, so he didn't have any sin nature passed to him. He had no inherited sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God. His name is Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter verse 45 says, written. This might be, I think we're doing okay. The first man became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Jesus was the new Adam, if you want to put it that way. In verse 47, the first man was of the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So all mankind's problems can be traced back to our sin nature. All the evil, all the problems back to that. So what's the answer? You need four things. Number one, you need an open human being. Hallelujah. Are you open to the Word of God today? Yeah, I hope you are. I hope you're open to the Word of God today because you're a human being and I'm coming to you this morning as a messenger and I hope you're open to hear the Word of God. Are you wanting God to speak to you? That's the best attitude to come to a church service is saying, Lord, I don't care who's preaching. I don't care if the music is flat or off or whatever. I don't care if the preaching's wonky. Lord, I want to hear from you. And we come in an attitude like that, I want to hear from you. God often, many, many times will speak to us, give us a word, say something to us. Number two, we got the Word of God. John said, this is what we need to overcome sin. An open human being and we need the Word of God. John said this about Jesus in verse 11, and he came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the Word of God, Jesus. And I wanted to ask this question this morning to this congregation, because I never know who's going to come. And I wanted to ask this question here this morning. Will you receive the Word of God? Will you receive Jesus? You know, if you bring your friends to these church services here who don't know the Lord or to our connect groups, We should always give people an opportunity to receive the Word of God, to receive Jesus. If today you receive Jesus, the Bible tells me right here in John chapter 1, verses 11 through to 12 or 13, it might have been, that you have the right now to call yourself a twice-born child of God. You're already a child of God by the very fact that you are a human being. Every human being is a child of God. But when you receive Jesus Christ into your life, that makes you twice born. Twice is, if you like, that gives you the right to call yourself a child of God. And with that right comes many blessings, many responsibilities. And today would be a good day if you are unclear about that, to receive Christ. Today is an opportunity for you to do so. Today you can be given that right to call yourself a twice-born son of God. But okay, what about the rest of you? Because I'm looking here at probably all Christians. Maybe, you know, maybe one or two of you are unclear about this. But the majority of you, I think, here this morning would say that you are born again. And you're sitting here under the Word of God. Is there something for you today? Yes, there is. Down the back there, there's something. What is God speaking to you about today? What's the Word of God saying to you today? Maybe he's saying today to you, today I'm going to heal you. Maybe he's saying that or has already said that. Maybe today he's saying, today I'm going to set you free. Maybe you've already heard the Word of God come to you today, saying, today I'm going to set you free. That's the Word of God to you today. And you need to be like Mary. We'll get to that in a minute as to her attitude. Maybe today you heard God say to your heart, and I haven't even preached this or said this, but God can speak to you anyway. Today I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you got that feeling, that word that came to you. Maybe during the worship. Maybe, who knows? Maybe today you've heard God say to you, today I'm going to launch you into your destiny. That 2024 is going to be the best year that you've ever lived on this whole planet. Maybe he said that to you, Ellison, that it's going to get better and better and better for you, darling. Walking in your destiny. Maybe he's saying to you today, I'm sending you to the nations. He could be saying that to somebody today. Maybe he's saying to somebody here this morning, today is your breakthrough. That you came here to church today just saying, oh yeah, just another Sunday. But he's actually come and spoken to you today and said, today is your breakthrough. Today I'm doing something in your life that's going to be pushing you into everything that God has. That thing that you struggled with has been broken in your... Maybe that's what God has said to you. Because what he's looking for is an open human. An open human. A girl, you know, I don't say this disrespectfully, but a simple girl like Mary who said, let it be according to your word. She wasn't flesh, but she was open to the word of God. Maybe that's you today. What is the word of God to you today? The third thing we need to overcome sin is just like Mary. You might be thinking, well, how can this be? How can it? We prayed for some people with addictions here this morning, right? And I know this. I know this because of my own experience. That many of you would have gone back to your seats saying, man, I hope this works. I hope this works. I've been prayed about this before. I hope this works. Hey, we think that, hey. I've prayed about this about 200 times. I hope it works this time. We're like Mary. How can this be? God is saying, you're going to have a son, you're going to call him Jesus. And she's like, how can this be? The third thing we need, what do we need, Jeremy? We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God to get the word of God done in our life. You're going to break through your addiction. You're going to get your breakthrough. You're going to get your healing. You're going to get your deliverance. You're going to get that future that God has planned for you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because you're amazing. Yes, you may need some self-discipline. You're going to need some wisdom. You know, if you're struggling with alcohol, for argument's sake, you're going to have some wisdom not to go to the bottle shop. not to go to that party, to avoid those places. That takes wisdom. But the thing that is going to get you and me through into incarnating the Word of God and the Word of God being real in our life is the power of the Holy Spirit. When we get to that place, Shane is saying, Holy Spirit, I can't do it. But Holy Spirit, you do it in me. Guess what he does? He comes alongside us. And how, that's his name, Honix. His name is Parakletos, like the parallel. He comes alongside us. His name is Helper. His name is Comforter. It's like, oh, I thought you were going to never ask me, Mike, to help you. Yeah, of course I'll help you. That's what he does, Joshua. He's like, yeah, I'll take the heavy end. Yeah, come on, we'll shift this thing. Here, you pick up yours. He helps us, Jake. He helps us. He said, Holy Spirit, help me, deliver me. Guess what? He does. He does. He loves it. He loves it. Holy Spirit, come. We need you more. See, you might have been sitting here this morning and you might have felt the presence of God on you, but it's more than this. He doesn't want to just give you a warm fuzzy. He wants to empower you to make that change. He wants to incarnate the Word of God in you. He wants it to become real. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. Nada. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The Spirit of God is the dynamic power of God, and he gets things done. So some of you right now may be even feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit around you. That's because he wants to get things done in your life. He wants the Word of God to come alive in you this morning. Hallelujah. He's here to bring life. Even when you got born again, you felt the Holy Spirit drawing you. I thought, I don't know what this is, but something is drawing me. There's something on that other side. They said, you've got to invite Jesus into your life. Man, I was so curious. What's going to happen? Jesus, if you're real, come into my life. Took that step of faith. Boom, something happened. I changed. Yeah, he draws us. That's the Spirit of God drawing us. And we're dumb if we don't respond to that. So if you're already born again, the Spirit of God is here to bring life to the Word of God that has been planted in your life. John chapter 1 and verse 21 says, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. I'm sorry about that, church. I tried to find a translation that was a little bit softer. You know, like get rid of, you know. Maybe they could have said it this way, Rick. Get rid of. Oh, they could have watered it. Like, get rid of those little things that you struggle with. No, he said, get rid of the filth. Is that, haven't you got a softer way of saying it, Lord? Get rid of the filth. Yes, get rid of the filth. James 1:21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. And humbly, say humbly, please.
Humbly.
Accept the Word of God. The word that God has planted in your life, in your hearts. That's what it is. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. This is the New Living Translation. It's the softest one I could find. And humbly accept the word of God, the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. That means transform your life. That's what that means. Save your soul means transform your life. And that word was spoken to believers, not to the unbeliever. He's here, church. Jesus Christ, the Word of God is here. The Holy Spirit's here. And the Word is becoming flesh in us. And you're the letter. You're the letter that the community and your family reads. You're the Word of God that, yeah, your family and the community needs to experience the incarnate Word of God. And we come to our last point, number four, of the same as the other number four. What do we need? We need faith. We need faith to believe the Word of God. None of this works, none of anything I just said to you, none of it works without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's like what John said back in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He says, those who received him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called children of God. It's receive the word of God and believe it. So, you know, I can preach till I'm blue in the face and give myself a hernia, which I have done, literally. Preached my guts out, going for an operation next year, get my guts poked back in. The only thing I can think of how I'd done it was preaching my guts out. So I can preach my guts out until I'm red in the face, and you can receive it, but unless you believe it, waste of time for you. Makes me feel a little bit better. Preach myself happy, but we got to believe the word of God. You know, and I want to wrap this up, but, you know, friends of mine have just come back from Uganda and preaching, and they were amazed. They go into the villages preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, and people get healed. Why is that? Because they believe. Some of you are going to go down on the bus to see the apostle in Auckland next month, and people will get healed. Why is that? Because they're believing. If we had Benny Hinn come and take a service here and all that, the place would be packed out. People would come from all over the place. People would get healed. Why? Because they believe. And so it's not that the Africans are more amazed that God loves them more than us or anything like that. It's because they believe. They don't have doctors there, so they've got to believe. And if we believe the word of God, he's no respecter of persons. We'll get the miracle breakthroughs too. So he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it's unbelief that will keep you and I out of God's will and out of our lives. Unbelief. Unbelief is what kept the children of God out of the promised land. If you read, you can read that in Hebrews. It was the hardness of their hearts and their unbelief that kept them wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And that whole generation missed out. But this is the generation that God's raising up right now. You guys. Me, you. How old are you, Dorothy? 82 or something, eh? Are you 82? Are you 82 years old? Not yet. How old are you? 82. There you go. As the most senior member of the church. From the most senior to the most younger, we are the generation that God is raising up at this time to do what? To believe. To believe the word of God. Oh, raka sandarada. Why don't we rise to our feet? I think we'll close our service here. We had enough praying earlier on and ministry. So, Father, we just as we close our service this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that your spirit is hovering, overshadowing this place. And I want you to think, wherever you're sitting or wherever you're standing, what has God spoken to you today? If he hasn't spoken anything to you yet, I want you to say, Lord, speak to me. Just quietly within yourself and some thoughts will drop into your mind that are most likely going to be the word of God because of the atmosphere. Now I want you to believe it. Believe it. That this is your breakthrough day. This is your healing day. Whatever it is that God has spoken to you today, put aside unbelief. And I thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for overshadowing this beautiful congregation of brothers and sisters. And Lord, bringing that word to life, incarnating it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? Yeah. Woo! Jesus! And what we're going to just do something slightly, we're just going to close our service right there with praising God. So give him another shout of praise and we'll close it. Jesus, worship you, praise you, praise you. Yeah. God bless you. Humbly accept those cheese sandwiches.